On today's show, we practice social distancing.
We scrap for any morsel of rugby we can get our hands on.
We chat to Ian McKinley and Michael Bradley, who are on the front line in Italy.
And we discuss what Irish treasures we should put in the rugby bunker. House of Rugby Bunker?
The House of Rugby. The Rugby Bunker of Fame.
We're working on it.
Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello, and you're very welcome to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby here on Joe, together with Guinness. This time last week, we said this could be the last Baz and Andrew for a while, and yeah, we weren't wrong.
Yeah.
Sad.
Correct, actually, yeah.
Well, we were wrong because we've had another one a week later. But in principle, it's the end of the world as we know it. And podcasting is the least of your worries. Yeah?
But kind of important in a way.
Yeah, important. Important, but not as important as, you know, emergency medicine and, you know, yeah, stuff out there that's going to trump what we're doing. But anyway, yeah, the show must go on. Imagine the scene. Barry can't make it, by the way. That's why Pat's here. Imagine the scene. It's I Am Legend. I'm Will Smith, obviously. Barry's curled up in my arms, my dog Barry, and he's sick. And I pull down his eyelid and, you know, there's signs of infection. And then I just give him a cuddle. But I cuddle him too hard, and then, you know, it's the end of Barry. So I just toss Barry aside, and I'm like, Pat, get your arse to the sofa immediately. We have to do a show on Monday morning. No, the real truth is that Barry is, could well be infected, but he's flying back from Dubai because the rest of his tour has been cancelled. And he'll join us after quarantine, I would imagine.
Probably quarantine now, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, for the foreseeable future, this is Andrew and Pat's House of Viruses. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's not funny, but we have to try and find some sort of jest for a period of time. We've got a couple of people on who are in the thick of it on lockdown in Italy. We've got Ian McKinley and we've got Michael Bradley. So I'd imagine that will be the somber, tense part of the episode.
Yes.
So let's try and maintain some sort of sense of humour, even though there is disaster out there for a lot of people and a lot of tough times ahead. Obviously no rugby, Pat?
No, there's, even today, I think the Gallagher's Premiership and the Champions Cup, Challenge Cup, that'll all be kind of knocked on the head for
you would
a while.
Have thought so, yeah.
And a lot of speculation, and it's probably accurate as well, that could be, you know, a lot of stuff will be put off for a month, but I think it'll go for longer than that as well. So, no real rugby at the weekend. There was a bit of super rugby at the weekend, but...
Super, it's not so super anymore.
No, it's just super on its own, even super, just no rugby.
It's gone, Champions Cup, yeah, Pro 14, obviously, Six Nations, everything's gone. Coronavirus has wiped out all sporting events, which makes it tricky though for being in isolation because it makes the days longer.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It makes, you know, there's no outlet and there's some tough times ahead. 16 weeks they're talking about up north.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know if they've picked that number out of the air, but 16 weeks is a marathon.
Yeah,
for isolation.
Yeah, it's and then there was a lot of stuff, good stuff. I was even saying to you there before the Late Late Show had been doing some really good stuff at the start of our show, but a lot of it is it's not a lot of like what happens. This is all well and good as well, but when you have kids in the house as well, and your kids are kind of itching to get out, and it's the back garden is where they're going to be living now for the next while, and it's a sunny day today now down Airway, but. That's where they're going to be sent out for the next few hours and just...
If you're lucky enough to have a back garden that's big enough to entertain kids, like, did anybody see the videos? We'll probably chat about this with McKinley and Brad's later on, but the videos of the flats in Italy.
Yeah,
people,
yeah,
like, trying to stay upbeat, singing songs.
Yeah. There's even a DJ out there and he had his decks out and he was playing music for everybody as well. And there was...
I would imagine through all this tough times... There will be some heartwarming stories of kind of community engagement, everybody getting together and trying to find some way to get through.
Yeah, there was a great one I saw of just an elderly lady, but she was out playing her flute, playing along to all the music, and then the husband came along and swatted it with a newspaper, like that they were already sick of it, or her with her tin whistle, just trying to keep everything going. But
yeah,
I know that's... There's already good stories coming out about all that kind of communities getting together as well. So, and that's what we have to do because even it's been spoken about, even, you know, by Leo Varadkar as well. It's just like, just look after each other and we have to do this as a country together. It's almost like a little challenge that we all have for the next while.
The the North v South interpretation of what the policy or protocol is it's not, it's too serious to be funny, but it is slightly amusing how ridiculously different scientists are interpreting
what
we should be doing with our lives.
It's so, like, from, like, 48 hours ago, what was normal in a way is not normal anymore. Like, going out for a pint, which might have been fine last Tuesday or Wednesday, is now you're a social pariah.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Like, yes, it's, like, massively shameful. Yeah. People making videos of guys in pubs and all, and it's, like, considered, again, trial by kind of social media.
Yeah.
Massively shameful. To be fair, it's coming around to that being legitimate.
Yeah, and I brought the kids on the first day. Last Friday, they were off school, and I brought the three of them to the playground. And the playgrounds were then closed down the next day. So I was wondering, were people looking at us?
Are playgrounds there?
Playgrounds closed down here now as well, yeah.
I assumed that, parks and playgrounds would be kind of, because it's...
I think parks are okay, but yeah, playgrounds are just kind of, it's just, again, it's an area where everybody can congregate and kids can pass on stuff to each other as well. And
you know what they should do? Do you remember Euro 96? Do you remember the water cannon?
Yes.
Bring that back. Anybody in pubs or playgrounds,
bring the water cannon,
just needs
back
to get hosed down with, like, antiseptic water, I don't know.
Just get them out, get them, remobilize them again, get them on the streets, start water. That'd be a bit of entertainment.
Yeah, and then all the villains will be just, like, flowing down the streets.
That's a good
idea. But, anyway, so, like, obviously down south then, that was issued last night, Sunday night.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Pubs and restaurants all to close up north. There's still a lot going on. So, again, listen, we're not scientists. We're not going to get into... But happy birthday, singing happy birthday twice while washing your hands doesn't seem, doesn't quite seem enough by comparison.
Yeah, it's just, it's all about, it's these words that you never, or like these words put together, you never would have kind of social distancing and all that type of stuff. And and then just kind of everybody kind of keeping safe and staying away from each other. And, but yeah, it is funny because I have a sister who's a teacher and she's over in London and she's seeing all the stuff that's going on back home here in Ireland and seeing everybody pretty much on like semi-lockdown here, and then she's going off to teach a class this morning over in London and she's like, this, it feels weird, and it feels almost like they're a week behind us as well, or, and even up the north as well, they're a week behind us. A lot of folks are kind of, I suppose you can make that call yourself, are you going to stay out of work just to look after your kids? But but crazy, like, and it's one of the only weird things in a way where there needs to be a bit of cohesion, and there isn't.
Yeah.
And it's that north-south thing again. And
it seems dramatically like polar opposite interpretations of how we, what we should be doing.
Mm.
But to be like in a few days' time, you would imagine it will all be aligned.
Yeah, yeah.
the north will catch up, and then everybody say, "Well, there's no big deal for a few days discrepancy."
Yeah. It was the whole herd immunity thing where.
Yeah.
And there are scientists who kind of say there's a bit of logic to it. You know, a certain amount of 67% of the population will get it and eventually we'll all become, pick up some kind of immunity to it. But at the same time, you're going to cost, it's going to be very costly as well. Yeah. Like, so,
and it's obviously like kids and stuff seem like they're grand. Generally, we will probably be grand.
Yeah.
With, you know, no underlying medical conditions. But my granny's 98.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm very worried about her. My mum and dad are both in their 70s. Worried about them. Being worried about them, the way kind of the solution to that is just don't go anywhere near them.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, encourage them, just lock down. But again, Foster up north said schools probably would be closed for 16 weeks.
Mm.
Thought of, no, it's not schools related, but obviously that means, you know, a general lockdown. Mm-hmm. Thought of my granny. She's too old for school.
Yeah, granted. <Yeah. laughs> She's crying there.
But the thought of her, she got held back a few years. She failed a few exams. The thought of her being by herself for 16 weeks is frightening. More frightening than the virus, nearly.
Yeah.
The isolation and the loneliness. I know my sister, like a McDonald's drive-thru, you know, gets granny to open the side window.
Really?
And she drives up into the driveway and winds down the window and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, there'd be a lot of that. Like, and there, like, because I was even saying there, it was my dad's, I think it was his 71st birthday at the weekend. And because I've got the three kids as well. So there's a lot of talk about, can the kids, are they incubators? Are they reservoirs for illnesses as well? So I just played it completely safe and then didn't go up for his birthday, which, you know, it felt a bit weird. And then I just left a present for him and a card at the house this morning on the way. I just drove by again, just dropped something in and and headed on and told my mum that I'd see her in 6 months. See it like as I drove off out the window. But I think as I was saying there, like hopefully there's a lot of stuff where communities will start coming together. And I think there'll be a lot of, well, hopefully now we look back in years like come and months to come about a lot of innovation being used and communities getting together and people figuring ways around it and working their way around problems. And there'll be a lot of people with spare time, like and time in their hands, and hopefully we're still able to get out. And there's some good comes from it as well. But it's weird times, like, and
behaviors outside of like general kind of principles. Even behaviors, I was actually flying last week. It was obviously the last trip, bit of a smash and grab trip. Hopefully get some business and then get home, and then that's us. It's going to be kind of conference calls and remote pitches from now on, really. But on buses and stuff like this here, like I was literally standing with my hands in my pockets, kind of breathing into myself like this, and so conscious of germs and infection and all that. And then the bus kind of stopped, and I stumbled into this lady with a baby and all, you know. But I'm so conscious about touching anything, anything. I'm standing like this. I wonder then, could there be the impact, like potentially people with OCD issues or like some sort of mental health fallout off the back of this? Because no one wants to touch anything. No one wants to. Yeah. Everyone's talking to each other like this. You know, what impact could this have socially? People aren't interacting the same way.
Yeah,
you talk to people and you're like this. Especially you.
There was an article in the Telegraph. The Telegraph are coming up with bizarre articles at the moment. They almost seem like these guys are all living up in, you know, in some the Swiss Alps in some kind of bubble, observing this happen. Like, and they're just talking about what it's going to do to society. But one guy had a column saying, you know, the silver lining from this could be that we all start curtsying again.
Curtsying.
And the return of the curtsy might come back instead of the handshake. And, you know, what a silver lining this would be. It was like, what's even going on in your brain where you think that's any kind of silver lining to what's going on? But
curtsying, like he's been just dying for this moment to come back. Curtsying, please bring back curtsying.
I've got it in the back pocket.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Anyway, we're going to chat to a couple of people. We're going to chat to McKinley and Brad's later on. But what about any kind of rugby gossip?
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny, and I suppose the Six Nations was still kind of raging on as well there, and you know, everybody talking about postponements and stuff as well, but it almost got missed. The Albie Matchison one got missed amid it all, didn't it?
It was almost like it was bad news. Also, we're trying to sweep it under the carpet, bury the bad news.
Which I think he was well liked down at. Well, like down at Munster, like, and I think it's a good sign for him. Yeah,
I heard that a few weeks ago, actually. And I just wasn't brave enough to say it.
I'm almost disappointed. I know. Didn't pass it on to me.
I should have been more gossipy about it.
Yeah.
That's a great signing.
Yeah.
And am I right in saying, I think Mathewson and Cooney are kind of like for like. They're a similar style, aren't they? They're both pretty...
Like to go, make sniping runs and stuff. And
so that'll almost like solidify Ulster's approach.
Their style of play.
Exactly. Yeah. No matter what nine we got here, this is the way we're going to play. Like, obviously, Shanahan scored more tries than anybody last season, maybe. He scored half a dozen tries or something. No, maybe not more than anyone, but anyway, picked up loads of... So he's lively as well. Mm-hmm. So that's all three nines are going to play that style of rugby.
Yeah.
Madigan.
Yes.
Big news.
That was a big one, as well. And I think it seems, I could have the details wrong, and it's just a 1-year deal for now or something.
Right?
I'd say that's good business for them as well. Like, and it's I didn't see that coming at all. But there was often talk of him looking to return home, and he'd been linked with Munster in the past as well. But Ulster is a good deal, and maybe the fact that the likes of Jordy Murphy and Jack McGrath are up there as well.
Yeah.
He knows a few more lads, and they're giving him the word on what it's like up there as well. But I think that's a really good signing.
Yeah, Jack McGrath signed on as well.
It's
nice to have a few options up there as well.
Yeah,
obviously Mads can play 12, play a bit of 15 as well. I don't know if he's been playing much 15 recently. He hasn't been playing that much rugby recently, I don't think, has he?
No, he was out for a bit because he was just going so well over there that it would. Because he was playing so often, there'd be a story about him every week or two as well. Like, so I think he's been out for a while, but it didn't really work out for him in a way. Like, I can see why he made the move, but he didn't have the best times over at Bordeaux. But then once he went to Bristol and was working under Pat Lamb, he came on really well. And
yeah.
A good player, though. Like, a really good player,
30 now, 30 years old.
Yeah, probably. That sounds about right. Yeah, because 2015, like 5 years ago, was when he was kind of, he was just starting to kind of settle into that Irish setup. So around 30 sounds right.
Yeah, grand. And then obviously the only other announcement last week, really, apart from all the cancellations, was Marler 10 weeks, Tua Lange 4 weeks, and Luisi.
Yeah,
Luisi, is that how you say that?
Sam Luisi, yeah.
Scarlett's rule, 5 weeks for him.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
It's a bit crazy, isn't it?
This all seems like a tedious, ridiculous conversation in light of what's going on. But anyway, we'll just put this to one. We'll just enjoy our little rugby chat.
Yeah, just a sprinkling of rugby.
Yeah.
It seems crazy that there might be these mitigating circumstances that Tui Lagi could be saying. North had a shoulder up. There was like he got Slade had tackled George North from behind, and he was falling. There could, like, you know, if you play it in real speed, there could be stuff like that you get away with. But still, just to get like what is it, 4 weeks, and then Marler gets 10 weeks.
Yeah, Tua Lange, you know, I feel like there is mitigation with that one because North was on his way down. That's the only thing that saves him.
Yeah,
and it's fair enough. Now it did look like he was really dynamically throwing that shoulder, but when he's 4 weeks and Lucy's 5 weeks, that is ridiculous that there's only 25% extra punishment for just throwing two blatant digs.
Two as well, and I think the French tight head prop got only 3 weeks as well,
what's his name? The ref from last week.
Oh, Johnny Lacey, yeah.
Sorry, sir. Should have just called him sir. Let's get sir back.
Talk about some rules, it doesn't seem right in a way. And again, even what John Lacey was talking about last week was what kind of example are you trying to set to people? And even though he kind of gave a good reason why Marler should be punished, so it kind of gets cut out in the future and people know it's not right. But then why are you giving someone a 3 week or a 5 week ban for punching the head off somebody? And thinking about it, thinking it through and deciding, I'm not only going to throw one punch, I'm going to throw two as well. So.
And whatever happened then with his defence was that he'd been gouged.
Yeah.
So whatever happened with that, did that stand up or?
I'd say it probably came into it because 3 weeks seems like that he might have felt that footage wasn't seen in the initial replays, but it was kind of one where it was the Scottish number 8. I think Hannon kind of reached out, but it wasn't really a gouge. It was just kind of like his hands made contact with his face. And then there was a punch thrown as well. So I don't know, unless they could have used that and said, I don't know, the French must have been able to kind of argue it.
But
that's why maybe it was so low, 3 weeks, that he was provoked or he couldn't see properly.
None of them will serve any bans effectively.
Everything they'll just be.
Will it be postponed, the bans, until the season starts?
Probably, I think that's the way it would work, though. Yeah, like in the legal way. But I don't know. I think there's just going to be a global amnesty on all kind of. They're even letting the, you know, low level criminals out of jail here down in Dublin as well, just to send them home. So everybody,
is that right?
Yeah,
is it?
Because they don't want to be prisons to be kind of catching it as well. Yeah. Like, so if as long as you're not a danger to society. Yeah.
Can we trust you to go home with your family?
It's Con Air 2 or something like that. We're all going to send you on a plane back. It's like the premise for some kind of, you know, action movie with John Cena or something like that.
One that will get quoted on this show in 5 years' time.
That we'll be talking about. Remember what we said? Yeah. So there's that type of thing where I think there's a lot of stuff that seemed important, like someone fondling someone else's testicles now don't really seem that important at all anymore.
Yeah, no, let's put testicle fondling on the back burner for now.
For now.
I think. Grand, okay, let's take a quick break and then we're going to get a chat with Ian McKinley and Michael Bradley.
You're listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness.
Okay, Ian's on the line. Ian McKinley from, this sounds like I'm introducing a contestant on a game show. Ian McKinley, come on down. Ian, how's things? Trimby here and Pat's here as well. What's the crack?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Everything's pretty quiet at the moment where I'm living, so.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a weird time to be in Italy. Talk us through what's going on. Talk us through how kind of, What happened whenever you went into training, whenever they said, right, everybody go home, and what's the protocol? Who are you allowed to talk to? Are you doing any training? Give us a bit of insight what life's like at the minute.
Yeah, so I play with Benetton Treviso. So I actually live in Treviso, and I suppose since last Saturday, because we actually played the Dragons last Friday evening in Wales, and when we got back on Saturday, that Saturday evening, the Prime Minister Conte said that the whole country needs to go basically into lockdown. So it took a few days, I think, for people to really understand that, and businesses, and even us as a rugby club, we still had the gym open and everything, because we were given a week off because we knew the games had been cancelled, but the gym was still open and everything like that, and shops and cafes and things like that. But then on Wednesday, there's been a total shutdown since last Wednesday, a total lockdown of everything. So it's basically the only reason you can go outside is to go for a shop, but that has to be one person at a time, and walking your dog. If you've got no other proper reason, the police have the authority to, to fine you on the spot or worse. So it's been pretty serious since last week.
So if you're out with like more than one person, then that's it. Like that's
if you don't have a good enough reason or a written certificate as to say why you're out, if you're out for work purposes, then okay. And then if the work can confirm that, then that's fine. But if you're not, you could be, you're on the risk of getting into trouble. So it's been taken very, very seriously over here.
And what's the general opinion that Italy were too late to impose those sanctions, or is that what people are thinking?
Yeah, I think it's... I don't think... I'm not an expert at all in this topic, but I think the Italian government have done pretty well, because I think if you go into a situation where you're living your life 100% and then all of a sudden zero, the whole country can go into panic. So there's been a bit of a gradual, as I said, from last weekend to Wednesday, there was a bit of a gradual, gradual closure of various shops. And then from last Wednesday till now, everything has just been shut down. So I think it gave people a bit of time to prepare for the worst. So here, I've seen there's been lots of videos of panic buying, at home and things like that. But here, in fairness, people have been pretty good, and everyone is fairly respectful of the 1 meter rule and gatherings and all that. So it's I think the Italian government have acted pretty well.
Yeah, and so what's the story with you then at the minute? So are you able to stay fit at all? Are you kind of just doing just press ups and sit ups, or what's going on?
Yeah, I think some of the guys on our team who live in South Africa or Ireland or wherever have managed to get home. This has been my home for nearly 10 years, so. I decided to just with my family stay here. So yeah, it, all gyms are closed and everything is completely blocked off. So in terms of trying to keep fit is pretty difficult. The club have given various at home programs, which you sort of have to improvise with, maybe lifting about 10 plates doing a squat or something like that. So it's not, you just have to improvise. But it's difficult to try and keep up the same level as you were before.
And Ian, I suppose even it's a weird way that Italy was almost like, for us here in Ireland, like maybe it was a week or two ahead of where we might be heading in the same direction as well. But it seemed like at the start, the Italian clubs were like, teams weren't going over to play in Italy as well. And was there kind of extra security put in for you guys, or like did you guys ever get tested as a squad as well? Did anything like that happen?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, we played a couple of weekends ago against Newport, so we had all of our temperature taken before going just in case. So I just think there was a lot more information given to us in terms of no contact and washing your hands and all that sort of stuff. So. But I certainly know maybe, the footballing teams would have a lot more budget, so they're able to test properly each individual player. But nobody from our team has had any sort of symptoms or anything. So,
Does it feel in a way like almost like you're in the future? Because I look at America now and it's almost like they're another week behind and it feels like I'm in the future and you're looking at them thinking they're crazy. But were you getting back onto people back in Ireland and get, like letting them know, like trying, it must be a weird one trying to reassure them, but also let them know how serious it is as well.
Yeah, I suppose the worst thing to do is try and make people panic, but it's a fine line between, you know, making people panic and actually getting people prepared for it, because I suppose when you put it like that, being in the future, yeah, you are. It feels like I am whenever I'm talking to family and friends back in Ireland, talking to a week or two ahead of the actual event. So myself and my missus had a, you know, we thought of maybe going back to Ireland just with our families, but then, you know, again, this is our home. But then we thought, you know, that we don't want to spread it, and if we go back to Ireland, we could be having the worst of both worlds. You know, we're in a situation of lockdown here in Italy, and then, you know, if we were to go to Ireland maybe a week ago, Ireland could be in the same position. Now, I know schools and everything have been closed, but, you know, businesses are still open. So, but we're at a total lockdown. Everything is shut.
So you're yourself and Julie, are you watching a few box sets, or how are you passing the time? You're not singing on balconies, are you?
Well, funny enough, there was a guy playing his trumpet there yesterday. So, you know, you sat outside listening for a little bit. But no, it's very, very quiet, particularly at the weekend. I mean, there's still some people that are out and about, but particularly Saturday, Sunday at the weekend, it was like being in an apocalyptic film, really. I mean, my wife took a few videos and stuff like that, and it's just like as if you've, another film 28 days later. It's exactly like that. You get the odd person walking around, and then whenever you do see them, you know, you're keeping a big distance from them. So it is sort of surreal and bizarre situation. But, you know, there's only so much TV that you can watch, and just trying to think of alternative things just to keep your day moving.
Is Julie able to work, or is she still working, or is she kind of keeping busy in her own way down at home as well?
Sorry, well, my missus is called Cordelia, not Julie.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
We'll edit that out. It'll be grand.
Sorry. She's actually documenting it just because.
Oh, okay, yeah.
My siblings, you know, my brother and sister said, well, listen, you're at the epicenter of a pandemic here, and this is something that hasn't happened and might not happen for a very long time. Might be good just to, you know, just record everything, and so that's what she's doing. And, you know, we sort of have a little routine in the morning where we walk our dog, we then do a bit of exercise, have lunch, and then by that time, you know, you either read or you do a bit of study, or, I mean, I managed to nab a PlayStation off my friend, which I haven't had one for about 12 years, and sort of turning back to my childhood. So yeah. I don't know if that's the healthiest thing in the world, but it just sort of occupies a few hours in the day.
No, it's funny because I think everybody's starting to get a realization how significant this time is going to be. And I saw one meme, and it was like, we'll look back in 20 years' time and people say, Granddad, what did you do during coronavirus? And you'll be like,
yeah.
Played the PlayStation, played Scrabble with Julie.
Yeah. Or,
your wife will be listening to this. She'll be like, who's Julie?
My other wife. Yeah, exactly. I got one during the virus. But, it's history, and it sort of is surreal when you're living in it. And but even, you know, reading reports, you know, the numbers aren't going down. You know, there's still a spike going in Italy. It's now France. It's now Spain. So hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, the UK and Ireland doesn't get it too bad. But I think, you know, drastic measures might have to be taken a bit more than what they've already been done.
Yeah, sounds good. Ian, well, listen, I'm sure you've got loads to do there.
It's a pleasure talking to you. Yeah, like 20 minutes of my time.
We'll let you get back to it. But just on a side note, I know we're not, it seems trivial to talk about rugby, but your story was pretty inspirational, and you made a lot of Irish people very proud. Kind of your whole story about moving across there and making a making a real fist of it, and things have worked out brilliantly. So everybody's very proud of you, and hopefully we'll see you back on the pitch sometime soon.
Cheers. Really appreciate that. Thanks.
Love to Julie. See you.
Well, actually, I think you met my mother-in-law at a wedding up in the north.
That's right.
Trippy.
I forgot about that. That's right.
Yeah, she gladly sent me the photo.
So, oh, very good. I forgot about that, actually.
That's where my missus is from in Balahi there. So
great part of the world, and we had a great day at that wedding. Actually, there'll be very few of those occasions anytime soon. But anyway, listen, great, good man, Ian. Great to
Take
chat
care.
To you.
Cheers, Ian.
Yeah. Cheers. Thanks.
Catch
a lot.
You soon. Cheers.
Bye.
What a great lad.
Yeah. Doing all right.
Yeah.
Walking the. If you're allowed out of your house to walk the dog, you'd almost be like itching to get a dog or something. We don't have a dog. Yeah. We have rabbits that do nothing at the back garden. But
the Italians, obviously, they rate their dogs very highly then. Yeah. No one's allowed out apart from that one.
But you got a dog.
That one thing.
You're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, himself and Cordelia over there.
Cordelia,
yeah. Great. Yeah.
He told me and then I immediately forgot the name.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting. And it'd be interesting to see, because I know Brad's will be in another part of Italy now and see, you know, what the kind of situation is.
Am I right in saying so Parma, Zebra?
Yeah.
It was less. Like, I know it was all pretty significant.
Yeah.
Still North Italy, but Treviso was right in the thick of it, wasn't it?
Okay, yeah.
I think.
That Lombardy region, I wonder if it's there.
Maybe. Yeah. So, will we just get Brad's on the line?
Yeah, we'll give him a shout, yeah.
Take a wee break and we'll get Brad's on the line.
Toilet paper for your bum, self-isolation, everyone. Ground the planes, park the boats, dry cough fever, itchy throat. Close the borders, sanitize, make your children sleep outside. Sneezing, wheezing, headaches too, there's nothing left for us to do. Self-isolation, 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 self-isolation.
Okay, we've got Michael Bradley on the line, former Connacht coach, former Edinburgh coach, and now coach of Zebra, and has just renewed for a few years. Obviously, that rugby aside, Brads, there's an awful lot going on aside from rugby where you are at the minute. What's the state of affairs?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's locked down completely, so that means basically we operate from our home. To work and back to home. You can go out obviously for shopping, for food and medical supplies if you need them from the pharmacy. And the government has requested that everybody abides by this for the next 2 weeks. We're kind of halfway through the first week now, and they'll look at it again at the end of the second week. So it's a very surreal type of atmosphere at the moment in Parma, but it's replicated throughout Italy. And the compliance is very good, but this virus is a serious threat. And also, I think everybody is aware of that, and they're supporting the direction the government has given.
Okay, Brad, do you want to take us back? Give us a bit of an idea of the timeline of when you guys came into training and when you got notified everybody's going home. And are they saying it's only for a period of a couple of weeks, or are they saying, listen, you're there indefinitely at home, adhering to the policy, the lockdown from the government?
Okay, so the timing was actually coming into the break in the Pro 14. It was the next round of the Six Nations, which would have been, I suppose, Ireland's second last game. So we had that scheduled week off. So guys had those who were not Italian had booked to go home or elsewhere. So the lockdown then happened at the end of that week. So in other words, if the Sunday of the Monday we were meant to come back into camp. So on the Sunday we told the guys who were outside of Italy to stay outside of Italy on the basis that they would be coming into a lockdown situation and there would be nothing happening here from a on-pitch scenario as a group. Obviously the boys are training away as individuals, but we were not training as a group. And that's the position we've been in more or less since. and that was last Sunday week. And you know, when you say it's indefinite, I mean, I think everybody's learning about the virus and its characteristics as each day progresses. You know, I think the figures in China, as an example, when they did a lockdown, have been encouraging. So I think that's basically the policy that most countries will take and adhere to.
I suppose we were chatting to Ian McKinley there, and he's kind of over in the, you know, Treviso there, and he was kind of saying that for the Benetton lads, they were all getting their temperatures checked, and it was kind of stringent enough in a way. Was it similar with Zebre? Like, were the lads having to get temperatures checked on a regular basis, and even did anybody get tested at all?
That I'm aware of, none of the lads were tested, and we didn't meet as a group. I'm not sure if Treviso met, then obviously they were getting tested. That was probably a precaution that they were taking at the time, but we made the decision not to meet at all as a group, because it's quite easy to transfer the virus, you know. So it was a decision we made, and so they weren't here to be tested in terms of temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Brad, have you been following things in Ireland and looking on from the outside, and obviously what you're experiencing in Italy? Are you kind of thinking, you know, why are we delaying things in Ireland, or are you kind of looking like to the way Italy was 2 weeks ago, and kind of wondering why we're maybe a little bit slower to react?
Yeah, I am actually. First of all, I am looking, and I suppose I was really disappointed that Cheltenham went ahead because of the Irish connection there. You know, I think it's beyond belief for it to actually happen. And you know, I watched some of the event, and I was going, gosh, there's people dying over here, and there's a whole group of people over there enjoying themselves in inverted commas, but they could cause a big problem for the Irish population, and even the population in the UK in a couple of weeks' time at the rate this thing kicks off, you know. So anyway, that would be my view. So I see where the schools obviously closed on, I think, Friday, mm-hmm. and the colleges, and my two brothers are involved in the bar business, so they're both, their premises are closed now, which is good. So I think we have to be very careful, you know.
Yeah, have you any other family that you're like concerned about or keeping in touch with, Brads?
Oh yeah, I mean, like I've five brothers, and they all have extended family, and my mum is in Cork, so obviously we'd be very mindful of the contact that she would be having, because she's in a vulnerable age group. But you know, I think just to listen to what's been said in terms of the guidelines and abide by them, and I think the sooner that socializing needs to really be curtailed at the moment, just for a period of 2-3 weeks, which is the learning process in China, and hopefully that will help a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And what's your own situation there, like, you know, in your own house, your own household over in Italy there? Have you got a bit of a day-to-day routine set up for yourself and family and stuff?
Well, my family is in Cork.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So like from me over here, so I have the apartment, obviously, and it's quiet because I'm there on my own, and I can go into work. So I do, which breaks the day for me, and that's it, really. So we don't really see too many people, but we've work to do with the boys. So you know, we've given them tasks in terms of rugby tasks. So there's a full day of work for us in terms of communicating with the boys. It's just not face to face, and just from a rugby point of view and perspective, they take care of their own, I suppose, physical well being in terms of they do the training on their own, as I said. And both gym and athletic, and then we try and put a bit of pressure on them from the rugby side decision making. But it's over. It's like school. It's over the internet.
And more generally, then, Brad, aside from
coronavirus. You're enjoying Parma, you're enjoying Zebra, you've had a bit of success, and you're staying on, and you're pretty fond of the place.
Yeah, Andrew, it's a good place. It's a good place to work. I mean, Italy is a fantastic country, you know, and there's a lot to see here outside of the rugby side of things. And from a rugby point of view, I mean, Italy is under pressure. Both Treviso and Zebra are under pressure. We know that, and the national side. But there's a lot of very, very good talent coming through. And I know Conor O'Shea was preaching this a couple of years ago, but it is true. And it's a matter of getting that talent through to the national side as soon as possible. And that will benefit all. So, I mean, I recognize the opportunity, shall we say, with the work that's been done at under 18 and under 20 level in particular. Steve Abbott has a lot to do with that. And, you know, it's the opportunity is there really for Italy, and it's just a matter of I suppose, having the political will to get it over the line.
Yeah, I know all about it, Brads. The Ulster guys who travelled, who played away to Zebra a couple of years ago, know all about it, because we got our pants pulled down by you. It was one of your first few games in charge, and it was one of my first games as captain, and we got bet out the gate, and somehow I got all the blame, even though I thought the pack got their heads kicked in.
I think, to be fair now, Les Kiss was the coach that day, and you held six or seven of your starting pack for the European Cup the following week, which he won. Uh-huh. So you know, it's horses for courses, I think. And to be fair, we got an intercept that day, so that kind of made the difference.
Yeah. I don't remember much about it. I think I've just put it to the back of my mind. But that was kind of the beginning of the end for me. And then by the end of that season, I was completely washed up. So
As a present, I can send you a video copy of that. No problem. I'll give your address.
No, you're okay. Thanks, Brad. Okay. You're all good.
Not better.
Yeah, listen, Brad, great to chat to you. Stay safe and keep yourself busy anyway. Keep yourself out of mischief there in the flat by yourself.
Okay, but, Andrew.
We wish you well. Talk to you soon.
Cheers, Brad.
Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers, Brad. Bye-bye. See ya. Bye-bye. Another great lad.
Yeah. This would just be us, yeah, ringing stranded rugby players and coaches the world over now for the next few months.
It's a far nicer version of us than the prank calling us from a few weeks ago.
We're being kind now as well. Instead of, we're actually making genuine calls to people now.
Yeah, I know.
I feel better now.
Speaking of keeping in touch with people, we're going to get we're going to give you a Penguin account.
Yes, because that's it. How are the Penguins getting on?
How are our Penguins?
It's a worrying time for Penguins as well.
It is, especially because none of them adhere to the protocols. They're all hugging each other, like keeping each other warm and spreading the virus.
Together, yeah.
Right, we'll be back with part three.
You're listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness.
Michael Bradley and Ian McKinley there, giving us a bit of insight into real life in Italy at the minute. Frightening enough stuff, Pat.
Yeah, we reached out to all you Penguins there over the weekend because we knew the show was coming up on Monday, and we were asking if there's any topics that you'd like to discuss. So thanks to all of you who got back to us on the House of Rugby Ireland Facebook group and at House of Rugby on Twitter as well.
So obviously crazy times. We've reached out to the Penguins and they came back with something brilliant. Glenn Young captures the mood. Glenn Young quotes, all the rugby has been cancelled. Can you ask them if they think that this is a sign that civilization as we know it is about to crumble and society will soon descend into a dystopian Mad Max style future where each and every man and woman will be forced to squabble and toil for each morsel of food and each paper sheet of toilet paper until those with only the strongest resolve or the lowest fibre diet will remain... or ask them about Madigan signing to Ulster. So, Glenn, for me, that's Penguin of the Week style.
Yeah.
That's great stuff. Glenn, that's the sort of stuff that's going to keep us going.
Yeah.
Might not keep us alive, but it'll keep our spirits up. Keep it up, Glenn. Fair play to you. Penguin of the Week, congratulations. For the audio, we're holding up the trophy.
Cardboard penguin.
Yeah.
If there's any toilet roll attached to that... Penguin right now. I'd be highly confident. Somebody else was asking me there, you know, one of the questions was like, how's Fla getting on? And I was just saying
Remember
that.
Fla?
Yeah. And I was saying that he's either building his own home gym at the moment, or we've put him in a bunker. Uh-huh. So I was kind of saying, we'll just keep a few Irish things saved for future societies.
Yeah, all of our national treasures.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Fla's up there.
Fla's one of them, yeah.
You, me and Baz are like on the front line.
Yeah. Yeah. If we could somehow just scramble to get over anybody, it'd be great, but...
Yeah, and then him and Bono and all in the bunker.
Bono would be in there, all right, wouldn't he?
Him, Bono and Draco, maybe. And we'll maybe do a live episode from the bunker.
Yes.
The bunker of rugby. The bunker of viruses.
The bunker of rugby.
A live shout out to the bunker of viruses.
If we could even get access to that bunker, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, yeah, Ard O'Hanlon, the cores maybe? Some of the cores?
Let's wait and see if there's space.
Yeah, okay, yeah, let's not go crazy passes. Brennan's Bread, Guinness, I suppose.
Yeah.
Or maybe just a recipe.
Because they sponsor us.
Yeah, they're there. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't pick another brand of beer.
Why not?
Yeah. But yeah, if... I'm kind of thinking of, a few Northern Irish people are allowed in the bunker as well.
Like Arlene Foster?
Well, wait, but her and the cores can kind of go on the standby list.
Okay, great. Maybe any Penguin suggestions for an induction into the Bunker Hall of Fame would be ideal. So get your suggestions in on the Facebook group or on Twitter. We'll wrap it up.
We've done it.
Yeah. Cheers to everyone for listening and those of you watching on YouTube. Big thanks to Pat, Ian, Paul and Anto for your help this week on the show. This has been Baz and Andrews, House of Viruses, on Joe, together with Guinness. Party on.
Party on.
You were listening to Baz and Andrews, House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.